Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of Casting the Net. These next couple episodes are a little bit different because I have the chance to interview Father Dave. Most of us only see our priests in church or maybe out in the community, but how often do we really have the chance to get to know them as individuals? And so these next couple episodes are a great way to do that. So if you've ever wondered, how often do priests get to take vacations? How often do they socialize with other priests? What are Father Dave's career aspirations, if you will, within the priesthood? So it's a really fascinating conversation. We split this up again into two different episodes this week and next week. So we hope you enjoy, and we'll see you again very soon.
Hi, I'm Father Dave Nuss, together with Father of Four, Rick Lingva. Welcome to Casting the Net. We are in search for catching the faith. Special edition?
Yeah, special edition. Welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of, or this week's episode of Casting the Net. I'm Brad Augustiniak here, the producer of the show, with Father Dave. Rick couldn't make it this week, and so we're going to do another interview-style episode today. And Father Dave and I were just talking, and he has a retreat coming up. And so, among other things, I wanted to ask him about the retreat that he has and how that works and just all sorts of fun questions. So hopefully this will be a fun episode for everybody listening. And we're just going to take it away and just kind of keep this nice and loose, just like the last one, and kind of see where it goes.
Brad, I love being with you, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity, not only today, but an opportunity for us to have this ongoing conversation that is made possible with your help. You know, retreat is kind of a word that gets thrown around like a frisbee.
Yes.
At least in Catholic circles, it'd be interesting to know. I don't know if in Protestant circles, I have no idea, Protestant clergy would, if a retreat is something that's sort of baked into their own professional development, enrichment, I don't know that. Mm-hmm. In Catholic circles, For clergy itself, there is an expectation. It's not a requirement. A requirement means that there's a penalty that is extracted if you don't do it. So there's It's not a requirement. Nobody's, in my 31 years of being a priest, I have never had a bishop call me and say, hey, when is your annual retreat? Did you make your retreat?
Wow.
Probably not saying that favorably.
I know what you mean.
Though, for those of us who have the self-discipline and really look at the benefit of an opportunity to immerse ourselves in prayer, reflection, relaxation and leisure, like to be able to restrict the typical interruptions that just are always a part of the day, like your own fatherhood. You might think you're going to have a relaxing afternoon, but if you're at home with the kids, anything can and will happen. So the retreat is an expectation that annually all the priests would step away from their work to be able to go somewhere, a retreat center. I mean, they're all over the world in various shapes and forms and experiences and expenses and some opportunities would be more group-related with other priests. They might be, someone from the outside might come in and direct a retreat. He might, or she, might preach a couple of times a day in terms of like a lecture that's sort of given that is part theological and spiritual, part inspirational and aspirational. Other retreats are to unplug altogether from everything, and it's silence outside of the liturgy itself and maybe meeting with a priest. So Lots of different forms, shapes and forms. What I have done, and this is just me, every priest is unique in this regard. Mm. So I don't know what a lot of guys do.
Yeah,
I know what a few guys do that I'm closer with. But every year I will either immerse myself in a Trappist monastery and simply imitate being a monk for a week. So live the monastic life. And the Trappists they're pretty hardcore in terms of their simplicity and discipline. So I have some favorite Trappist monasteries that I like to go to. One in New York State, the Abbey of the Genesee. One in Iowa, the Abbey of New Mallory. Though I've been to several other Trappist monasteries, get up with the monks who begin their days in Trappist monasteries at 2:30 a.m. or 3 a.m.
Wow.
Which is the first hour of prayer. Well, don't be impressed. They're going to bed at 7:30 without any worries. So there's a good night's sleep.
That's still impressive, though.
Although the accommodations in these places are they're definitely on the rougher side. I mean, typically no air conditioning if it's summertime, you know. Wow. And the idea is to just be Spartan and simple. Mm-hmm. The monastic life is an entrustment in our great God and a reliance on Christ. And you don't need a lot of things. Hmm. And they're in usually somewhat remote places.
Wow.
To minimize distractions. So I'll either take a week living with the monks and living as a monk, or in silence, except for when we gather in church, or I will have a directed retreat with, I've always, well, typically, almost always chosen a priest director, though there are many beautiful, holy, trained sisters and laity who are available for direction, usually in a Jesuit retreat house. So the Jesuits, the Society of Jesus, not only operate great universities and high schools throughout the United States and world, there's also a branch of the Jesuits that are in spiritual renewal through retreat centers, and they're all over the country.
Wow.
All over the country. As you know, we're in Toledo, and there's a Jesuit retreat house up in Detroit, in a Detroit suburb, that's not available next week, so I'm not going there. I'm going somewhere else at an undisclosed location, but I'm getting away, and I'll spend the week with a Jesuit priest who's going to be, with whom I'll meet every single day, and we'll have a real compressed experience of what's called the spiritual exercises, which is something that St. Ignatius authored in the 16th century, which is a real intense reflection on the words and the life of our Lord.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, so I'm so looking forward to unplugging that way. I'll be steeped in the Gospels, which is the Jesuit approach.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of use of imagination with Scripture, and really seeking to have the Lord speak to me as to how God wants to get my attention at this moment in my life with the help of a spiritual director, and think of a spiritual director as someone who knows God. So that was kind of a lot to the answer of retreat.
No, that's very interesting. So you can actually choose to go wherever you want to go then. So
it's
the bishop
100%
doesn't
say, on me.
Okay, so I always thought, and I'm sure a lot of people probably think, oh no, the bishop says you go here, this group of priests, you know, goes here, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But you get to choose wherever you want to go.
Yes. Wow. It's absolutely, the accountability is the self-accountability in this particular way, as I shared.
Sure.
Not saying it should be that way, but it is. I mean, it has been that way throughout the entirety of my career with different leaders.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And I would say that that's the norm, actually. Friends of mine in other dioceses the same way.
Wow.
So it's for me to locate where I want to go, to make my arrangements, my travel arrangements, and to make sure that I'm doing that in a way that is designed to be a retreat. I don't subscribe to calling it a retreat and going to Pinehurst number 2 and playing all week. And I'm not going to judge brothers who do that or may do that. I don't know about Pinehurst. Sometimes that word can be used a little loosely as just simply time away from the parish. But for me, it's an absolute immersion with a deeply spiritual focus that is either monastic in its feel or Jesuit in its feel.
That's really interesting. Yeah. I mean, so there are some priests then that will actually go and do something more quote unquote relaxing, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. To me, it looks a little bit more like a vacation.
Right. Sure. Right? That's the word, I guess, is more of a vacation.
And
sure.
That's important as well. And,
it is.
And there's definitely an aspect of relaxation for me on retreat. Typically, although some retreats can be really difficult, the Lord can place before me some real attachments that I have, mm-hmm. and is really trying to get me to release some of those attachments.
And
that can be really hard at times, or a different kind of conviction that the Spirit places before me to do something differently in my life that I haven't been doing or resisting doing. So it can be hard. And it's hard for me to unplug. I'm as you know, as we're at the same parish. By the way, you got a great parish.
Wonderful parish.
I'm blessed with really enjoying what I do and enjoying the people with whom I'm walking at this season and stage of my life. Mm-hmm. And it's not always so easy for me to just unplug and to not check in.
No, I can imagine. So how, I guess that's another question then. I mean, how do you take vacations? I mean, obviously this retreat isn't necessarily a vacation per se, although like you said, it is relaxing to some degree, but do you actually have a chance to take, you know, vacations, you know, in more of the traditional sense?
Yeah, that's a great question. We have an employment policy manual that the priests have that's authorized by the diocese, so the bishop would have a final say on what that is. And we receive benefits of X number of days a year to be away. For most of us as active diocesan priests, getting away on weekdays is nowhere near as difficult as getting away on a weekend. So the weekends are kind of gold for us to be able to be away. I will say that it is not always easy for me to be away. I'm not a victim here, but it's more of a choice on my particular part. We don't have ready-made help for us to be away, so we don't have a supply of priests that are automatically assigned. Let's say priests who just simply automatically rotate in as help or replacement when we're gone. Mm-hmm. We, as a pastor, it's my responsibility to line up my replacement before I go.
Okay.
Also on retreat, by the way. Mm. But the vacation time away, that can be a little more, that can just be difficult. It can be difficult to do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes cumbersome to do.
Yeah.
But typically my vacationing, I did walk the Camino de Santiago through Portugal last October. That was an amazing experience with some great friends. But typically my time away on vacation is all family.
Yeah.
In light of my family being all over the United States, I'm just making arrangements right now to get out to see my youngest brother and his family out in Denver in June. Yeah. Which will be a long weekend, but I'm glad to be able to get out there to be with them.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. That's really neat. I mean, you have to have that time away with your family or whatever you choose to do. Everybody has to relax, you know.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because it sounds like it's almost like it is in the corporate world where, you know, it's hard to get away. You want to get away, but you know you're going to have a lot of work when you come back.
Yeah.
You know, and so you have to choose that time very, very carefully in regards to when you want to go away.
Right.
And you make those arrangements and you kind of figure that out. So
Interesting.
So now when you go visit your family, do they have to be on their best behavior? Because you know, Father Dave is here, even though it's family.
Well, let me tell you, let me open up the hood on that one. They're not. Oh my goodness, it is so wonderful. Of course, I'm Uncle Dave to nieces and nephews, or I shouldn't say of course. That's what I am. I guess my great uncle, I always called Father Rollin, not Uncle.
Okay.
Great Uncle Rollin, but it really is terrific being with family and coordinating schedules. Gosh, I don't have to tell you this. That's not always easy. I might look to have an availability that doesn't work for my family. All of my siblings are married. All of my siblings have children, and they have lives.
Yeah.
They have schedules, and they're beautifully invested in their families and their own children, and with priorities that's given to their families that just inspire me. So sometimes the timing of that isn't always easy.
Sure. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So speaking of socialization, do you ever have the chance to just socialize with other priests? You know, because like in the corporate world, you definitely want to try to take some time as whenever you can to, you know, socialize with your peers or with, you know, business associates or, you know, customers or whatever it might be. And I think there's something very important to that, you know, to not just be in that professional setting all the time. People, you know, tend to open up a little bit when they're in that social environment, whether it's dinner or drinks or just going to an event or whatever it might be. So do you have a chance to do that with your fellow priests within the diocese or anywhere else for that matter?
Gosh, Brad, that's another great question. That has changed significantly in my 31 years of priesthood life and ministry. And it's changed because there are half the number of priests today as there were when I began. The demands have not decreased by 50%.
Yeah, right. Probably so increased.
There's fewer of us. I would say in a lot of instances, they have increased. Yeah. And it's a lot harder for many reasons. So the ability to do some of that socialization has been significantly hampered because of the inordinate demands relative to the decreasing supply of the number of us. I'm aware of how hard it is, even with friends, priest friends and good priest friends in the Toledo area, how hard it is to sync schedules.
Yeah.
And that's a credit, I think, to those men who are dedicated to what they're doing. And I think it's a vocational danger that we have right now because there's not enough of that happening. And what I worry about, especially with the spiritual life, the opponent's tactic is always to divide and conquer. That's what the devil, the word devil in the biblical language means scatterer or divider. Interesting. It doesn't mean 451 degrees Fahrenheit. It doesn't mean horns and a tail. It means scatterer, divider. And so I think the opponent is always trying to divide us. And I do see the temptation at play to keep priests disconnected from each other, albeit under the guise of busyness and duty. And I wish in my earlier days we did things more regularly. We might have had a weekly dinner that might have brought 6 or 8 priests together from neighboring parishes. Schedules are just so insanely busy and varied that, at least in my recent experiences of the last probably 12 years, where I have been, which, interestingly enough, in the city of Toledo, where there's more of a concentration of priests than some of my previous assignments, that just doesn't happen where I'm at.
Yeah, that's kind of a shame because I think in every profession, you know, and I mean, for lack of a better word, using what you do as a profession, but I think within any profession or anything that somebody does, you know, for a living, so to speak, I mean, you have to have that time away, I think. I mean, everybody needs to sort of get away and kind of distance themselves a little bit from their daily activity to kind of just reset a little bit. So it has to be difficult.
Yeah, you're taking me to a really good place in the older days for me, or in the beginning. For me, and my priestly life and ministry launched in Sandusky, and Sandusky has still to this day 3 Catholic parishes in that city. For those unfamiliar, it's 65 miles to the east of Toledo, right on Lake Erie, and with 3 different parishes at that time, 2 of the 3 parishes had associate pastors. There was kind of a concentration of priests in the city. I don't know what the population of Sandusky is. Maybe it's 30,000. I don't know. And it also was an attractive place for several other priests to retire to that area. So there was a concentration of maybe upwards to 10 or 12 priests who on a regular basis, which regular was weekly, would gather for dinner. Now, these dinners were, I mean, as a young priest, some of the old codgers were pretty unfiltered about a lot of things, but it also introduced me to a lot of really good things. Most significantly, the fraternity itself of the priesthood, which I would say is not as strong and as robust as it was when I began, and in some ways is is much more fractured and threatened. For some of the reasons that I mentioned, there's fewer of us with more demands that are kind of placed upon us. And those demands also are demands of people. I mean, I think some of the demands of have people have significantly escalated, and the reach that people have, and in some cases the impatience that mm-hmm. is placed upon us, like there's nothing else that we're doing.
Yeah, and that's
but to wait for that call.
But no, that's actually a really good point, because I think people, you know, the congregation or, you know, the parish needs to, you know, understand that. Yeah. And, you know, like priests are people too, right? Yeah. I mean, obviously, but yeah. I think people need to really understand that and sort yeah. of put themselves in your position and realize yeah. that you're human as well. It's yeah. and you're very, very good, in my opinion, about, you know, saying that in a lot of your homilies mm-hmm. and sort of saying this is, you know, maybe a shortcoming that you perceived yourself as having, and this is how mm-hmm. you dealt with it. And it just sort of, you know, brings you out to be, hey, look, I'm just like everybody else, kind of a thing, you know? Yeah. But I think that's important that people understand that, and they yeah. understand that maybe they shouldn't be so as demanding, you know, as maybe mm-hmm. sometimes they can be mm-hmm. because of that reason. You know, you have to have that time to relate to other people, in this case other priests, who can relate to what you're doing, you know, mm-hmm. because nobody else can relate to probably some of the issues that you face, you know, within sure. what you're doing every single day,
yeah.
as well as maybe another priest can.
Yeah,
right? It's a very unique, you know, sort of totally. Calling that you have, you
totally.
Know, and I mean, none of us, in my opinion, that are not, you know,
totally.
Priests can relate to that. I certainly totally. Couldn't relate to that.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Brad. I can have empathy for you as a husband and as a father. I don't have complete understanding of what it means to be married.
Sure.
I don't understand what it means to have biological children.
Sure.
I can try to understand, and I can admire that and encourage that and have mm-hmm. some measure of connection. Well, same with priestly life and ministry. There are just challenges that we face living a life that is uniquely ours.
Yeah.
As well as some of the professional responsibilities therein. I mean, there are just a lot of things that take place that are deeply particular and unique and really difficult.
Yeah.
And there's no manual for some of this stuff.
No,
so what do you do?
I can only imagine. Yeah. Yeah. And you're always on. You know, that's the thing
true.
That always kind of gets me is you're
is
always
true.
On. You know, you may go on a retreat, you may go on a vacation, you may go see your family, but at the end of the day, you know, you're really always on.
Yeah, and that
you
does,
know, so
that does happen. And there are challenges yeah. with that too. It's not just within our own city. I'm just thinking real recently, just two nights ago, it was outside of Toledo, and someone was trying to find a priest.
Mm.
And, you know, those things happen too.
Yeah.
And they're difficult. And some of those things can be kind of hard, accepting my own limitations, because I'm not always able to respond
yeah.
to these situations. And at other times it can be really challenging. I'm not in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in assigned to other places, and yet those requests come my way from time yeah. to time, and those requests are never easy ones.
Right. Oh, I'm sure. I'm
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
And all the priests face this.
Sure.
But I'm a part of a couple of cohorts. I should share this.
All right. Well, thanks, Father Dave. We'll see everybody again next week here on Casting the Net.
Friends, he's Rick, and I'm Father Dave, a dad and a priest, together trying to become better fathers by catching Christian faith. Thanks for joining us for our conversation, and we hope that you'll connect with us next week for Casting the Net.